Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Story Shop. I'm Princess Tamalpa.
And I'm Aunt Sally. Gee, that ice cream cone you're eating looks good.
Yes, I like the kind of cone that has a pointy bottom. The only problem is you can't stand it up.
That's true, but the curious thing is the shape reminds me of India.
Hey, you're right. And that's where our stories are coming from today.
Yes, the first one is The Son of the Seven Queens. Once upon a time, in the faraway land of India, an evil witch cast a powerful spell over a king. Now this king had seven wives whom he dearly loved, but because of the magic spell, he fell in love with the witch, begging her to marry him. The witch, who had taken on the form of a beautiful woman, said she would marry him on one condition, that he bring her the eyes of his seven wives, and then throw those seven queens into the dungeon forevermore. To the horror and sadness of everyone in the king's palace, the king did exactly as the witch commanded. Then he married the witch. Not long after the seven queens had been thrown into the dungeon, one of them gave birth to a son. She named him Ram Dass. Even though born in a dungeon, this was a very special boy, for he was the only child of the king. At first, the other queens were jealous of the seventh, but soon they all learned to love the babe as their own. So Ram Dass grew up thinking he had seven mothers. As an infant, Ram Dass cheered his mother's dismal blind lives. As a young child, he tried to return their love by doing things he thought might please them. One day he dug a tunnel out of the dungeon and through this passage was able to bring extra food into his dreary home. At first an old faithful servant gave him food, but as he grew into a young man, Ram Dass fashioned a bow and arrows for hunting. One day the witch queen happened to be standing on her balcony and saw the young man shooting pigeons and knew immediately who he was.
Guards, bring me that young man at once.
Ram Dass was brought before the witch queen.
Well, sir, will you sell me one of those pigeons you just shot?
I'm sorry, your highness, I can't. These birds are for my seven mothers who live in the dungeon.
Ah, yes, I've heard their sad story, and seeing you, their son, I now wish to help them. If you give me those pigeons, I will send you to the place where the eyes of your mothers are kept.
Why, that's a small price to pay for the return of my mother's sight. Here are the pigeons.
What a good and devoted son. You deserve all I can give you. Wait now whilst I write a note to my mother, the Black Witch of the Mountains. She has the eyes of your mothers and will not relinquish them until I say to do so. If the king sees his son, my powerful spell will be broken. This message to mother ought to take care of him. Let's see. I'll say, kill the carrier of this note and turn his blood into morning dew. Here you are, Ram Dass. Have a pleasant journey, for it will be your last.
Ram Dass immediately set out on his journey. Along the way, he entered a city where all the people seemed very sad.
What ails you, kind sir?
Our king has but one child, a daughter named Princess Tara. She refuses to marry anyone but a prince with seven mothers. Since such a person is impossible to find, we fear Princess Tara will never marry. Still, our king is trying to find such a husband for his daughter and has ordered all strangers to report to the palace for questioning. You'd better go there right away, young fellow.
Daughter, another stranger is being brought into your courtroom. Won't you please give up this impossible idea of marrying a prince with seven mothers?
It's not impossible, Father, and I have vowed to wait until...
Yes, courtier, what is it? Sahib, may I present Prince Ram Dass?
Your long wait is over, Father. Here is the man I shall marry.
But we haven't questioned him. We haven't... Well... I can see by your face, daughter, that you don't need to ask him anything. Welcome, Rondot. Your coming is our delight.
I have waited for you many seasons, Ram Dass. Let's be married at once.
I'm honored by your proposal, Princess Tara, but cannot accept at this time. I'm on my way to see the Black Witch of the Mountains.
And Ram Dass told them his story. Princess Tara was touched by it, but had uneasy feelings when Ram Dass showed the note he was taking to the Black Witch. Even though the note was in a sealed envelope, it seemed to the princess to smell of death.
You must be tired, Ram Dass. Won't you refresh yourself in our swimming pool and take a rest in the guest chamber?
While Ram Dass was swimming, Princess Tara opened the note, reading with horror the message. Quickly, she rewrote the message to read, "Take good care of this man and give him anything he wants. He has served me well."
On the following morning, Prince Ram Dass left for the mountains and wasn't long in finding the hut of the Black Witch.
"I have come for the eyes of the seven queens. Here's a letter from your daughter."
"Looks like her handwriting, all right, but doesn't sound like anything she'd say."
The prince waited patiently.
"Oh, all right. They're around here somewhere. Here are the eyes. Take them and get out of here."
"Mothers, mothers, wait till you see what I have for you."
"I can see again."
"Oh, son, you brought back our eyes."
"I can see again."
"Ram Dass, you are as handsome as you are kind."
"I'm going now to get married, mothers. But one day I'll return to free you once and for all."
"Hurry back, son."
Yes,
hurry back.
"Yes, hurry."
"I wonder if Mother has killed Ram Dass yet." "Ha ha, of course she has. It's been over a month. I love standing on this balcony looking at all the land that will be mine when the king dies." "Where did that arrow come from?" "It's the prince. What happened? He's supposed to be dead. Guard, bring up that young man, quickly."
"Your Highness, Ram Dass."
"You've returned so quickly, Ram Dass."
"I didn't want to waste any time getting my mother's eyes to them, Your Highness."
"I see you shot another of those delicious pigeons. It's such a pity my huntsmen can't shoot as you do. Oh, well, in exchange for your pigeons, I'll give you a wonderful cow whose milk never stops. Such a cow would delight your poor imprisoned mothers, don't you think?"
"Indeed it would. Gladly will I give you these pigeons."
"And gladly will I write another note to my mother, the Black Witch, for she holds the cow. Wait here just a minute. Dear mother, kill the carrier of this letter without fail and turn his blood into morning dew. Ram Dass, here you are. Have a pleasant trip."
Off went the prince to the mountains, but first he stopped to tell Princess Tara of the second wonderful gift he was getting for his mothers. Again the clever princess changed the letter and sent her beloved on his way.
"What? Not you again?"
"I come for the cow whose milk never stops flowing. Here is the letter from your daughter."
"Reward this prince handsomely, for he has served me well." "Well, I don't know what you could have done for my daughter to make her give you such a precious gift, but come on, the cow's out back."
"And with this cow, mothers, you'll never be hungry again."
"Oh, thank you, son."
"Thank you, son."
"Oh, Ram Dass."
"Thank you, Ram Dass."
"We will be able to sell milk."
"And make butter and cheese."
"Thank you, son."
"I only wish all of you could come with me. I'm going to marry a wonderful princess, but I'll return soon to set you free."
"We know you will, son."
"Give your bride our love."
"Yes,
yes, yes.
Blessings on you both."
"Goodbye."
Walking through the palace gardens, Ram Dass again shot a pigeon. It fell right onto the balcony of the witch queen.
"Whose shot is good enough to hit a pigeon? No, it couldn't be."
She ran to the balcony.
"Guards, Guards, fetch up that young man at once. How could mother not follow my instructions? Is he some sort of god that he can't be killed?
Your Highness, Ram Dass.
Yes, Ram Dass, again you grace me with a pigeon.
It's yours, Your Highness, a small gift for one so generous. My mothers do indeed appreciate the cow.
What? I mean, I'm so glad, but I can't accept this wonderful pigeon without showing you my gratitude. Once more, take a note to my mother. She'll give you a grain of wheat which grows into a field of wheat overnight. Now wait just a minute while I write it. Mother, what's going on? Kill this young upstart at once. Do not fail, and turn his blood into morning dew. Ram Dass, here you are. Have a pleasant journey.
Again Princess Tara changed the letter. The old black witch was beside herself with rage that her daughter would give away something so precious as the magic grain of wheat. But what could she do? She gave the wheat to Prince Ram Dass, who returned to marry Princess Tara. Within a few months, the prince had become very rich because of the fields of wheat that grew out of the magic grain. Although they were happy with each other and wealthy, Ram Dass and Princess Tara were troubled by the thought of the seven queens who still spent their lives in a dark dungeon. Ram Dass, my husband, we are up against an evil witch who I'm sure has enchanted your father. The only way around her is to trick her. I have a plan. First, we'll invite your father, the king, and his wicked witch queen to visit us. I'm sure the witch queen thinks you're dead since you never returned after that last visit to her mother in the mountains. And so an invitation was sent to Ram Dass's father.
Look, my queen, we're invited to visit Princess Tara and her new husband. I've been hearing a lot about them lately.
Yes, I've heard he's a very wealthy man. I'll set the servants to packing.
Courtier, tell your prince and princess that the king of their neighboring country has arrived with his queen.
Yes, Sahib.
Welcome, welcome, king and queen. My name is Prince Ram Dass.
Ah, I'm undone.
And this is my wife, Princess Tara.
Prince Ram Dass, seeing you, I'm confused. I feel great joy and at the same time a great sadness. Can you explain this?
Don't ask for explanations, you silly old fool.
I would like you now to meet my mothers, the seven queens.
Mothers? Ah!
Mothers? Seven queens? A great sadness fills my heart when I think of seven queens. I should know something about them, but a black fog clouds my mind. Yes, I would like very much to meet them.
As the seven queens came in, Princess Tara threw herself at the king's feet. Your Majesty, the seven queens before you are your own dear wives. You are sad because you imprisoned them years ago.
My own wives? Why would I put them in the dungeon? And if I did, how did you get them out? Only I can release prisoners.
Yes, kill her! She's broken the king's law! Kill them all!
We took them without your permission, Your Majesty. But look, here is your son, Prince Ram Dass, the one you've been waiting for all these years.
My son? My son!
And the king hugged Ram Dass. Then he turned a shamed and sorrowful face towards his dear wives.
What can I say to you?
Nothing, Your Majesty.
Nothing. We knew you were bewitched.
And you didn't mean to do those things? Well, I'm not bewitched now. After seeing my son, my mind is clear, and I remember well who put me up to throwing you in the dungeon.
Turning, the king glared at the witch queen. She was so full of anger and fear that she suddenly burst into flames. In a minute, nothing was left of her but a heap of ashes. Princess Tara stepped forward. Sweep her out, and let no one ever speak of the wicked witch queen again. The king welcomed back his 7 queens, and their son ruled the kingdom he inherited with wisdom and generosity.
Gosh, Aunt Sally, witches are just as evil in India as anywhere else.
Yes, it seems just as natural for a bad witch to be evil as it is for a tiger to want to eat someone.
Hey, that leads us into our next story. It's called The Tiger, the Brahmin, and the Jackal. Once upon a time, in the land of India, there was a tiger who was caught in a trap. He threw himself against the bars and rattled the cage and rolled on the floor in a fury and roared with rage, but nothing worked. He was still trapped. When the tiger had given up hope of ever getting out of the cage, a poor Brahmin passed by. The tiger cried out,
"Rawr! Let me out of this cage, O pious one."
"Oh, no, my friend. Do you take me for a fool? You would probably eat me if I did."
"I eat you? I would be so grateful, I would serve you forever as my slave. Look at me, doomed to die in this cage unless someone with a heart as big as yours were to free me. Think of my poor family. What will they do without me to hunt for them? I swear, my good man, no harm will come to you if you will only set me free."
"Oh, very well, but what guarantee do I have that you will keep your promise?"
"Why, you have my word. Aren't I one of the noblest beasts in the forest?"
"Yes, yes, I suppose so. Just give me a moment to loosen the latch on this cage." "Ah, there you are. Free."
The tiger popped out of the cage and seized the poor man who had freed him.
"What a fool you are. What's to prevent me from eating you now? I'm terribly hungry after being in prison for so long."
"Wait, you promised you wouldn't eat me if I freed you. Think of my family, my children."
"While I'll eat them up too."
"You can't be so heartless. Give me a chance. Let me ask 3 things their opinion on the justness of your action."
"Oh, very well. I'll go along with whatever they decide."
"Thank you. Thank you, noble beast."
"Off with you. But remember, I'll be waiting here when you return."
So the Brahmin set off down the road until he came to a pipal tree. He stood in front of the tree and explained what happened. Then the Brahmin asked,
"What do you think of the matter, tree?"
"What have you to complain about? I give shade and shelter to everyone who passes by, but all they do in return is tear down my branches to feed their cattle. What justice is that? So don't come whimpering to me. Be a man."
The Brahmin, sad at heart, trudged farther along until he saw a buffalo turning a well wheel. Again he told his story, to which the buffalo replied,
"You are a fool to expect gratitude from the tiger. Look at me. While I was able to give milk, they fed me on cottonseed and oil cake. But now that I am dry, they yoke me here and give me garbage to eat. Is that justice?"
The Brahmin was even more sad, and he turned away, head hanging low, which caused him to notice the road.
"Road? You've heard all this? What is your opinion of the matter?"
"My dear sir, how foolish you are to expect anything else. Here I am, useful to everybody, yet all, rich and poor, great and small, trample on me as they go past, giving me nothing but the ashes of their pipes and the husks of their grain. What more do you expect?"
With these words ringing in his ears, the Brahmin turned away, heart heavy with sorrow, ready to return to the tiger, who he knew would only track him down if he tried to escape.
but he had gone only a few steps when a jackal called out.
What's the matter, Mr. Brahmin? You look as miserable as a fish out of water.
Ooh, I feel like a fish out of water. No one is sympathetic to my sad tale.
Well, why don't you tell me your story? I'm a very good listener.
So the Brahmin told the jackal all that had happened, including his encounter with the tree, the buffalo, and the road. After he was finished, the jackal said,
Oh, how very confusing! Would you mind telling me everything over again? It's getting so mixed up.
The Brahmin told his story again and again, but the jackal continued to shake his head in a distracted sort of way and still could not understand. The jackal said,
It's very odd, but it all seems to go in one ear and out the other. I think you need to take me to the place where it all happened. Then perhaps I can give a judgment.
So they returned to the cage where the tiger was waiting for the Brahmin. He sat there sharpening his teeth and claws and growling.
You've been away a long time. My appetite has grown. Let us go now and begin our dinner.
Our dinner? What a remarkably delicate way of putting it. Give me 5 minutes, my lord tiger, so I can explain things to the jackal here. He's somewhat slow-witted.
Very well, but only 5 minutes. Can't you hear my stomach growling with hunger?
Yes, I'll only be 5 minutes.
Once again, the Brahmin began his story. He included every detail and was careful to be as accurate as possible. But, alas, the jackal still had trouble understanding.
Oh, my poor brain, my poor brain. Let me see. How did it all begin? You were in the cage and the tiger came walking by.
Pooh! What a fool you are. I was in the cage.
Oh, of course. Oh, yes, I was in the cage. No, I wasn't, dear. Where are my wits? Let me see. The tiger was in the Brahmin and the cage came walking by. No, that's not it either. Well, don't mind me, but begin your dinner. I don't think I'll ever understand.
By now, the tiger was in a rage at the jackal's stupidity and hollered at the confused beast.
I'll make you understand. Look here, I am the tiger.
Yes, my lord.
And that is the Brahmin.
Yes, my lord.
And this is the cage.
Yes, my lord.
And I was in the cage, do you understand?
No. Please, my lord.
Well?
Please, my lord, how did you get in?
How? Why, in the usual way, of course.
Dear me, my head is beginning to whirl again. I'm getting very confused. Please don't be angry, my lord, but what is the usual way?
By now, the tiger had lost his patience and jumped into the cage and cried out,
This is the way. Now, do you understand how it was?
The jackal grinned and winked at the Brahmin, then reached over to shut the door.
I understand perfectly now, my lord, and you, in turn, will have plenty of time to try and understand what has just happened to you.
And that, my friends, is the story of the tiger, the Brahmin, and the jackal. Do you understand?
Well, I understand that the tiger really got fooled.
Yes, that tiger thought he was so much better, but the jackal, who seemed so dumb, actually outsmarted him.
I like that story, and I hope you listeners did too. If you want to hear more stories, tune in next week, same time, same station.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.